This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Brothers and sisters, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Al-birru husnul khuluq," that righteousness boils down to good character. What this means is that whomever exceeds you in good character has exceeded you, surpassed you in righteousness, has surpassed you in deen. But how does a person know if they truly have good character? The great scholar Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he says that good character stands on four foundational pillars. There are four fundamental qualities that are the bedrock of good character. Inspect those. Look for those. Because if you don't have a stable foundation, if you have a rocky foundation to your character, you will not actually be building on it, even if you may assume so. Even if you may assume that you've in fact gotten somewhere. The first of them, and perhaps each deserves its own khutbah in the coming weeks if Allah permits, is as-sabr, patience and perseverance. A second of them is al-iffah, a sense of self-respect and self-restraint that is born out of self-respect. The third is al-adl, a sense of justice where you are repulsed by unfairness, even if it's at your own expense or the expense of your loved ones, your parents, your spouses, your children. And the fourth of them is al-shaja'ah, bravery. And I want to begin in today's khutbah with bravery as a foundational part of good character. Because you know, it already takes bravery to begin with to inspect whether or not I have good character. You know, most people don't do that. Most people on do you have good character, do you truly have good character, knowingly or not, they settle for their reputation and don't actually dig deeper to their reality. They basically accept what people know about them, not what they're actually like, even if behind closed doors. There's a huge difference between your reputation and your reality. And to move past the first to the second requires bravery. That is the idea. And then Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he actually does something very interesting. When he's using symbolic personalities, like symbols of these qualities, he says the symbol, the icon of bravery is who among the Sahaba? If we were to quiz the Muslims, hands down, everyone would say Umar. But actually, he says Abu Bakr. Radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with them all. He says Abu Bakr is the icon of bravery. How so? He says bravery, for instance, is the ability to withstand bad news. When everyone falls apart, you rise to the moment. To be able to embark on uncertainties. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam died, no one was able to envision the world after him. That's why even Umar, they were in denial that he died initially, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Despite Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu loving him more than anyone, he was the one that stabilized the ummah. He said, listen, this is it. We have to move forward. He was the first person brave enough to accept that we have to move on in life, as hard as it is, as scary as it is, without the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Another example, when he then assumed leadership over this ummah, many tribes rebelled. They said, we respect Muhammad, we will not respect any other leader but Muhammad. And so much of this happened so fast that Umar came and he said to Abu Bakr, don't do it. There's too many fish to fry right now. Let's sort of stabilize the state first. Too many fights on too many fronts. We can't pull it off. And Abu Bakr was the only one that said, we're going to do it. If we don't squash, and he was right. In hindsight, he was right. If we don't squash this one rebellion, there will never be another chance. It is now or never. And that takes a lot of bravery. Because especially if you fear Allah, you're second guessing yourself. Like, I'm making this decision and I have to make it all alone and nobody agrees with me. That means if it doesn't go right, all the blame's on me. And yet he stood there after, for sure, seeking guidance from Allah. He said to Umar, what is the matter with you? أَجَبَّارٌ فِي الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ خَوَّارٌ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ. You're a tough guy before Islam and now you're a coward. What happened to you? And then ultimately they all realized that Allah had inspired Abu Bakr. He was not a hard-headed person. He was not stubborn. They realized Allah must be inspiring him to do this right now. And they all got on board. And so he was the first, the courageous, the valiant, and it became contagious after him, radiallahu ta'ala anhu arda. And then what is the hallmark of Abu Bakr, radiallahu an? You're going to tell me generosity. Generosity is actually bravery, right? To be able to let go of money, confident that you'll come across some more money. That is bravery. Once again, even Umar, may Allah be pleased with him. Umar is second to none, by the way, after Abu Bakr though. Radiallahu anil jami'a. This is a'udhu billah, not any sort of detraction from Umar. But Umar, when the Prophet ﷺ called to charity, he had such bravery. He brought half of it, all of his money. And he said, if ever I'm going to beat Abu Bakr, it's going to be today. But it wasn't even today. Abu Bakr brought all of his money, fearless in a sense. And the Prophet ﷺ asked Umar, what'd you leave behind for your family? He said, an equal amount, half-half. Oh, Abu Bakr, what did you leave behind for your family? He said, Allah and His Messenger. I left behind Allah and His Messenger. This idea of courage and bravery being a foundational element to our character means that every righteous person for their righteousness needs it. We need it on every level. You know, when the world is making investments in every direction, it takes bravery to limit your pool of resources to make the ethical investment, not the unethical that the world is making. It takes bravery. It's the risk that no one else wants to take. And so they'll justify the other path. Or when you make a decision to want to marry a woman, it takes a certain kind of bravery to man up and call her father. Or knock on his door and not just message her on the side or slip into the DMs as they say nowadays, right? When you get into marriage and you face problems, it takes a certain kind of bravery to engage the problems, get to the bottom of them, put them past you and move on. I remember one of my mentors, friends but a bit older, when I was getting married, he said to me, listen, I want to tell you something. I struggled a lot in my first few years of marriage. Because every time there would be a misunderstanding, we would shut down. Me and we wouldn't speak to each other. And then after a while, I'm trying to speak and she's still shutting down. Until I said to her, listen to me. I'm not going anywhere. You're not going anywhere. We got to figure this out. He said it was almost like I unlocked a code. Whether she knew it or not, she was afraid to say something wrong, to do something wrong, to sort of feel guilty for the rest of her life that she ruined the marriage. But when he told her, listen, we're going to do this. We're just going to work through it. All of a sudden, things became way better. And even if there is no misunderstanding in the marriage, a lot of times, it is upon you, brothers in particular, to make the last decision. And you should never abuse that. You should never overuse that. Too much pressure causes eruptions. But sometimes the tiebreaker is going to be on you. And the questioning ultimately from Allah will be on you. So those major decisions, you're going to make shura, but you may also need to make a tough, courageous decision regarding where our kids are going to school or where they're going to live. And just because you made shura, you consulted others, doesn't mean they're all going to agree with you. You were just making sure you're covering the blind spots that were available through other people's advice and perspective. But still, it takes a certain kind of bravery that the rest of the family is looking at you like, why'd you do it? It's going to require bravery. And so that is in dunya, but also in deen. You know, subhanAllah, the Prophet ﷺ has this beautiful hadith narrated by Imam Ahmad rahimahullah about when a person wants to become Muslim, shaitan blitzes them. And he starts throwing all these scenarios in front of them about what's going to happen. You're going to become Muslim. You're going to humiliate your family. They're going to disown you, right? All of this, right? and then he disobeys him, he defies him, that's the courage, right? And he becomes Muslim. Then it's time to migrate. And the shaitan blitzes him and he says to him, "Tatruk ardaka wa sama'ak," you're going to leave basically everything you've ever known, your earth and your sky. You're going to start all over from scratch, a stranger, nobody knows you, nothing. And then he defies him and he migrates. And then he stands in front of him on the path to jihad, the hadith says. And he says to him, "You're going to get killed. Your kids are going to become orphans. Your wife's going to forget you and remarry. She's going to marry another man." And then he defies him and performs jihad. And so for deen as well, this is indispensable. You know, the idea of being afraid is not the problem. Like, we are not calling people, the Quran and Sunnah, are not calling people to eliminate their fears. The mightiest messengers of God were so afraid at times. The Prophet ﷺ, Musa ﷺ, fear is there throughout. Their biographies that Allah immortalized in the Quran for us and in the Sunnah. It's about the bravery not to eliminate, but to overcome the fear. You know, it's almost like superstitions. Like when you have a building and then there's a 13th floor, or Friday lands on the 13th, or you saw a black cat, or whatever people take bad omens from. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu, he says everyone experiences that. The believer just chooses to ignore it, to suppress it, to move past it using his tawakkul, using his confidence in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you do that, brothers and sisters, I want you also to know that it enables you to do it on higher levels in the future. Or to put that differently, bravery is a muscle that can be grown. You know, sometimes, forget even in the charity, on the charity front, entrepreneurs, many a times they take very risky actions. Why? Because they've failed so many times and gotten up from the failure, right? And so it actually builds in them a resilience that I can imagine climbing out of this if it goes south, because I've climbed out of it in the past. Even you think of our sisters, you know, the encampments that have been happening around the country and all of these confrontations that have been happening. I find myself reflecting on the amount, the apparently, not to say our brothers aren't there, but the apparently disproportionately high number of sisters in hijab out there. And I said to myself, perhaps the reason is because they have grown that muscle simply by wearing the hijab and choosing to be brave as visibly Muslim year in and year out, that they're actually able to activate it when the need is there. You know, I recall also one scholar, he was speaking about a man in Islamic history that joined the Muslim army, but he was horrified. Like, it was like peer pressure or guilting or whatever, the shaming. He just, "All right, I'm in." And he's like losing sleep every night, praying to Allah that the war doesn't happen. Because if it starts, I'm going to run. And so as soon as the enemy lines get near enough, the opposing army sends a volley of arrows at them. Like hundreds of arrows at once. And so this man, he doesn't block. He doesn't have time to sort of, nothing. The next thing he knows, an arrow skins his face and lands in the ground under him and strikes dead a snake that was camouflaged under the sand. He said, and that changed everything for me. Bravery is a muscle. Like, you see, wait a minute. Like, it was his time, not mine. Truly, what was going to hit you wasn't going to miss you. What hit you wasn't going to miss you. And what missed you was never going to hit you in the first place. The pens have truly been lifted. The pages have truly dried. And so You grow this muscle by using it. And on the other side of this, what weakens the bravery muscle? Shying away too much. Right? Giving yourself too much security. Not enough struggle. Not enough stretching yourself. You know, Ibn Khaldun, rahimahullah, the great historian, he says, and you'll notice a pattern in human history, which is that there is always far more bravery in the villages than in the cities. You know, the cities, like, there's more accountability, there's more, so like people, there's more safety a lot of times, right? And also there's more systems of security, at least in theory, right? There's a police force, and so like if nowadays you see someone being taken advantage of on the street, none of my business. I don't need to be a brave man here, I just gotta dial 911, right? And I'm not saying don't dial 911, but notice the tendency that people will drift to in certain environments. And we are certainly atop that list of environments. Even, you know, there is a good book, if you're into reading it, called King of the Castle. It speaks about how the Industrial Revolution pushed everyone to the big cities, and knowingly or not, it stripped people of this whole sense of moral duty. I have to do something. And so if you don't ever feel like you have to do something, you'll never actually be challenged and produce and get become brave. In fact, let me take this one step further, brothers and sisters. The fact that we don't do something, frightening or not, challenging or not, even physically, reduces your capacity for bravery. You know, there's so much research in the last 50 years, from the 70s onwards, when they first started clocking this or measuring these things, that the testosterone hormone, you know, I was just reading this morning something very briefly from the American Urologist Association. Testosterone, of course, is a hormone that makes someone more willing to take risks, right? Among other things, of course. And it's more prevalent in males than in females, but it exists in us both. That there has been a steady, consistent decline in testosterone for the past 50 years. Why? Because people aren't doing anything. They're just sitting around. And so the more you use your physical muscles, the more that testosterone is replenished. But when we have a sedentary lifestyle, from the couch to the chair, to the car, to the couch to the chair, right? This lessens it, which means you don't have as much in the tank that you need to activate when it's time to be brave. And this is not an issue of, like, from the 1980s to 2020, a person is getting older, so they're becoming more inactive, so their testosterone is going down. Of course, that's normal. No, we're saying intergenerationally. The 20-year-old in the 80s is not the 20-year-old in the 2020s because they're less physically active. They don't have as much in it which would activate. Allah put this inside you to activate for you what you need to be embracing about yourself. And so physical activity, whether it is sports, whether it is martial arts, whether it's anything basically but the keyboard, phone, and controllers, right? Get up and do things. This will replenish what Allah pre-created inside you for this duty that is one of the four foundational pieces of good character. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعد أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ونبيه ورسوله. Brothers and sisters, when Musa عليه السلام saved Banu Israel from slavery, he could not save them, that generation, from the mindset of enslavement, the mindset of inferiority, the mindset of being subjugated, being powerless. And that is why when he took them out of Egypt to the promised land, they said, اذهب أنت وربك فقاتلا. Go you and your Lord and fight. We're not fighting. It's because of the environment they were in. Likewise, in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, none of the Muslims that came from Mecca and the inferno of persecution they experienced in Mecca were one foot in, one foot out. It was some of them people who pretended to be Muslim in Medina when it was comfortable to be Muslim, convenient to be Muslim, that when an unexpected battle took place, they said, if only we wouldn't have listened to Muhammad, our friends wouldn't have died. And Allah Azza wa Jal said to them, قُلْ لَوْ كُنْتُمْ فِي بُيُوتِكُمْ لَبَرَزَ الَّذِينَ كُتِبَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْقَتْلُ إِلَى مَضَاجِعِهِمْ. Say to them, if you would have stayed home, the way you would have loved to stay home, those destined to die would have died anyway. They would have emerged to their place of death. They would have went there anyway. And so notice where it comes from. And finally, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says to everyone, الْمُؤْمِنُ الْقَوِيِّ خَيْرٌ وَأَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِ الضَّعِيفِ وَفِي كُلِّ خَيْرٍ, that the strong believer is superior and more beloved to Allah than the weak believer, and there is good in all of them, remember that bravery is a form of strength, the strong believer, and that bravery is most brave, most powerful, when it is coupled with al-mu'min, coupled with iman, the conviction in destiny. You know, Khalid ibn al-Walid radiallahu anhu, when he was dying, the celebrated warrior, he said, I pursued death where you would expect it most, meaning my line of of work, I'm always in the battlefield. He doesn't mean he is suicidal or anything. I've pursued it, meaning I've placed myself in environments where you would expect to die, most likely. And yet here I am, there is not a spot left on my body that doesn't have a scar, a wound from either a sword or a spear or an arrow, and yet I'm dying on my bed the way a lamb dies in its pen. فَمَا نَامَتْ أَعْيُنَ الْجُبَنَاءِ. So may the cowards never find any sleep. Meaning these guys who lost sleep over their lives and their livelihood, and I didn't, here I am dying a normal death, a peaceful death, and they may have died before me. So what is the point? Notice how he grounds it in his faith. And finally, this bravery, grounded in iman, if it is not used for iman, meaning for the pleasure of Allah, even if you have it, it's worthless. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the first three to be punished on the Day of Judgment, one of them will be a man who fought so that people would say he was brave. And it was said, you used one of the four greatest gifts of God for human excellence, for human character, courage, for self-promotion, instead of the pleasure of the one who gave it to you in the first place. Think about that when people flaunt it, they token it nowadays, to post about their bravery. Ask yourself what your intentions are. We need you to be brave because of the climate today and for every aspect of dunya and deen. And when you do it, make sure you do it for Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, jalla fi'ula.